Christ is risen.
Because it's Easter and we're celebrating the resurrection, I got good news. The pastors aren't going to preach this morning, okay? What's going to happen? We have Bruce Berkshire with us. He's a member, longtime member, and he's experienced the resurrected Christ, the living Christ. And he's going to talk about his experience with Jesus Christ. Bruce, you want to come up? Give him a round of applause, please.
Move it up a little bit.
I can probably be loud enough without it. Well, I'm here to tell you about something that happened to me, and I'm going to start the story fairly well ahead of when everything happened. In 2011, about April, I guess it was, I had decided I was going to meet with Pastor Rick after service, whenever it was, because I had some people that were, you know, pushing me to go up to communion and things like that, and I wasn't here for why everybody's here today. I did not believe. I was here for my wife was wanting to raise the boys in the church, and I was supporting her. But it was just like, you know, people pushing me and chiding me, and I'm like, you know, just kind of leave me alone, let me come in and go out, you know, that kind of thing. But I told them I wasn't ever going to believe. Well, that was all fine and dandy that day, but along came the 5th of July. And on that day, I went to work, and I had some young gentleman that had been out on a job and couldn't troubleshoot it properly. So I was going to go out there and train them once again. So we went out there and put the ladder up, 36-foot ladder. We were not going up that high, but anyway, got the ladder up, and I shimmy up that ladder. About the time I'm going to top the rooftop, the parapet wall, ladder cracks and goes against the wall. I go, oh. And so I tried to control my fall, you know, kind of like a kid jumping off a wall, take up the impact with your legs. And, well, it sounded like a car crash when I hit bottom. And I came to rest. I was sitting up and looked at my legs, and everything was pointing the wrong way. You know, I had a snapped femur, crushed right ankle, broken left knee. Turned out my back was broken. I had head injury, all kinds of stuff. I thought, well, this isn't good. I better lay down. So I did, and I started giving these young guys directions how to take care of me, because I knew none of them had any real first aid training. And they did everything right, you know. So they came and got me, straightened me up, and hauled me to the hospital. And got to the hospital, and they did whatever they had to do, and then I had to have a surgery They kind of got both knees straightened up. But they couldn't do anything about my ankle because of the swelling. And or the back, you know, that had to wait a little further down the road. So I had this surgery, which everything went well. But after the surgery, my bowels wouldn't wake up. And I'm swelling up and swelling up. And at one point, I could literally thump my stomach, and it sounded like the kickball you use on the playground, them red balls, you know? And along with that went an incredible amount of pain. And so they told me, they said, well, listen, you know, you're having all this pain, we're giving you these pain meds, but they will inhibit your bowels from waking up, and this may continue. We have to get them woke up somehow. So they said, do you think you could go without them? I said, anything to stop this pain, you know. And so I did. Of course, it didn't do anything but get worse. But at one point, they wanted to do this other procedure where they gave me something, and I would it would hopefully wake them up. But there was a risk with that at the time. you know, and the risk was that, well, it sometimes kills people. And so Paula didn't think I should do that. I wasn't so sure at one point because I was, the pain was worse than anything I'd ever had. You know, I was hit by a truck in 86 and my pelvis was crushed, so I know what pain is. And anyway, so this is going along for about a week, and me and Paula are just getting by minute, trying to get me through. Everything's doing, everybody's doing things they can to try and make me more comfortable. It's pretty much impossible, you know. And the end of the week came, and Paula, of course, she had been, so we live between Surprise and Wickenburg. And Paula was driving to work in the morning. When she would drive, now she worked at SRP by the zoo. So, you know, 52 miles one way, I think, 57, I don't know what it is, pretty far. And she would stop and see me on the way to work. She would work, then she would come and stay with me, sometimes till even after, well, most of the times, after visiting hours are over, because they weren't kicking her out, you know. I don't think they could have kicked her out if they wanted to. But anyway, so she's going getting by on a lot of these nights, just a couple hours sleep, you know. So the end of the week comes, and Sunday she's supposed to come, and she had told me, well, I'm probably not going to come till about noon. I'm going to go to church first. And she gets up Sunday morning, and this, now she tells me this, you know, later. This is, she said she was in a foul mood, and she said she didn't want to go to church. She didn't want to come see me. She was spent, is what it was, and just stretched to her limit. But she did. She came to church. And the sermon spoke to her, because when she showed up to see me, she came in the room just bubbly like champagne. Now, that morning, I had decided I was done, you know. The pain had driven me to the point where I wanted to die, and I was going to tell her that day. And she showed up, and I'm like, I can't tell her, you know. What am I going to do? I can't tell her. So I'm struggling while she's there, and as the afternoon goes on, I have this experience, and what happens is it started in my feet and my toes and just went right up through my whole body. It felt, I describe it as electricity, but it wasn't. It was just this incredible energy and feeling of, as it went through me, the pain went away, and it was just, I felt good. You know, I mean, it was this powerful feeling. Well, when it started coming into me, it's like I immediately knew it was Jesus coming into me to help me. I mean, it took this pain away, and you know. So this, it happened. I have no idea how long it lasted. When it was over, I started trying to explain it away. I said, oh, well, that's the pain meds. That's the first thing I thought. Well, I'm not taking any pain meds, you know. And, well, adrenaline. Well, everything that I used to explain away, God coming and helping me, I knew implicitly at that moment that it wasn't anything else. It was God taking that pain away from me. And so, you know, of course, now I'm a fairly conflicted person in pain, laying in bed there, but I know that it's true. So what happens is it starts again. And this time, I wanted Paula, and there was a gal in there, I think it was a CNA, probably not a nurse, but she helped me with a lot of things, you know, all the human functions that have to be handled in the hospital, you know. And she was in there, and so I wanted them to feel this. Because it was coming, it felt like something that would go just everywhere. And so I was touching them on their arms. I tried to touch them so they could feel it. And, you know, so this happened three times over that day. I believe it was the second one, near the end, he told me, tell everyone. And, you know, it was like a, how I describe it to people is, when you're at the sporting event, baseball, football, whatever, and it's noisy, but you can hear that one guy from way over somewhere, and he's yelling at the ump or the referee, 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 you know, real quiet. I never listened to that. But anyway, but you can hear him clear as a bell, and everybody, you'll see people looking for him, you know. And that's what it was like. And so I heard this, and now I'm even more, I mean, my mind probably is going 1,000 miles an hour trying to get through everything, you know. It subsides, and then the third time happens. After that happens, I'm laying there, and I realize that everything that I had been worrying about, I don't need to worry about anymore. Everything is going to be fine. And, you know, at that time, I was the major breadwinner, you know. Paula had been, oh, I guess she had just got full-time. I remember it the other way, but, you know, she said, no. Oh, you're back there? Anyway, of course, you know, you start thinking about financial things, and everything got taken care of right away. You know, all these things just came in and took care of those problems for us. And I'm not talking insurance or anything like that. This is just things that just happened that were not expected to happen at all. You know, raises and, you know, these things could have happened any time. I mean, I think we even had a check come in about a escrow account that somebody had messed up on, and it had been lost. And they didn't know, we didn't know about anybody, and it came in when bills needed to be done. Then, right then. Just thing after thing after thing. Like ducks getting in a row. And, of course, Paula, she's the worrier now at this point because, you know, she's thinking the same things. Like, man, what are we going to do? But I didn't. I wasn't worrying anymore, you know, because then these things start happening. Well, it was just, this thing was so powerful. It's undeniable. You know, I knew that God had come to me and taken care of me that day. And since then, just like when we woke up and looked out the window today, the sun was up. It's just a fact, and it's there. And there's no way I would be able back ever to the way it was. Not that I wanted to, because I'm real happy now, right? You know, the other thing is, as much pain as I was in, it was different. It was almost like I was okay with it, or, you know, because I know that it's going to be better. And it was. I've never had such an excellent bunch of doctors in my life. The things that they fixed on me, you know, I mean, I have no problems from my broken back. It was crushed. And the only pains I have now is, trauma-induced arthritis, you know. We're handling that. But it's just that ever since then, everything has been, you know. I even thought of stuff like, well, can I pick up the hose and water my garden? I had this beautiful garden. I would go out there in the morning, and it was a vegetable garden. And a lot of these vegetables have, especially the squash blossoms. I had a ton of those in there. I'd sit in there before I'd go to work in the morning just to enjoy it, you know. And I'm like, man, how am I going to be able to do that? Am I even going to be able to walk after this? You know, those are the kind of worries I had. They were all gone. I knew everything was going to be fine. You know, I don't garden anymore because it is hard for me, but I don't think it really bothers me, you know. I got other things I can do. So, anyway, we move along, and they get me done. And I get out of the hospital, and then I get visited by my pastors. Which, at that point, they really are my pastors. Before, they were just some guy who talked while I was waiting to go home. Right? That's true. You know it. So, but it's just been everything. Everything has been, you know. I mean, you know, I missed one of the most important parts. Before this all happened, my grandfather came to me. And I went out and walked around the yard with him and talked and talked. And there were some difficult things going on. I talked about, you know. talked about it with him. At one point, I had two chairs set up in the yard, and we're sitting in them talking. Now, this, my grandfather had passed in 1971. And near the end of the conversation, he said, well, he said, you know, Bruce, he says, something's going to happen. And I had been obsessed with that for weeks after he came to me. This was probably 4 or 5 weeks, maybe, before I fell. And I had been just obsessed. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So me and Paula, and we've thought about it since then, and we really believe that it was God coming to me, Jesus coming to me, in a form that I would accept and that I would listen to, you know? And I did, because I was obsessed with it. And something did happen. And then something bad happened. You know, and I thought, well, that must be it, you know. And then the good happened. And it's been, you know, I forgot it. I had one grudge that I held for years with a lieutenant that was in the service with me. And it would come up in conversation from time to time. And it would become an issue between me and Paula. And she'd just have to get mean with me. Just let it go, Bruce, you know. Well, I even thought about that. I thought about Lieutenant LaChance. And I says to myself, if she walked through that door today, I'd love her. I'd treat her like my own mother. And I'm telling you, there was a pretty visceral hate I had for that woman. But it's gone. Since then, I've tried to find her. You know, the internet. Tried to find her. Because I did have a couple of opportunities to say some really mean things to her when I was still dealing with her in the service, you know. Occasions where I could get away with it, and I did it. And I wanted to apologize for those things. I tried to find her. You know, I can't find her. Maybe she got married or something, names changed. But it's just this change in me. So, you know, he told me, tell everyone. And I did start telling everyone. I started telling the nurses, the CNAs, anybody that would listen, you know. And a few days after I talked to a couple of these nurses that I'd been having in there take care of me, one of them told me, she says, you know, she says, I hadn't been going to church in forever. And she said, I started going again, and I'm going to keep going. And she told me it was because of what happened to me. And another one said that she'd been going like maybe once a month. And she said, I'm going. I'm, you know, says this was something much. I think it's because they saw me before and after. And, you know, the condition I was in, and now I really don't care. I know everything's going to be fine. And it probably made me a real easy patient, too, you know. Because it's like, yeah, sure, come on in. Fix me or don't fix me. I'm going to get through it, you know. But, yeah. It was just everything since then has been, I see miracles everywhere, miracles of God, you know, that people just walk by, drive by, whatever. I just can't describe how much better my life is. Life was work at work, and life was work when I wasn't working before. And it's not really now. You know, I think everybody in my family's a happier person because of it too. I could go on and on. There's things that happened with Paula and my son Austin and stuff that had to have been, you know, God helping them get through it. They tell me about afterwards, you know, that, man, on this day, that on the day that happened, this is what I did. Or the day before, Austin was outside at night just yelling at God the night before he came to me. He said, why did you do this? Can you help him, you know? And he did. I don't remember where we heard it, but it was something like somebody was yelling at God, and I said, well, really, it was a prayer. And I believe that's what was happening. Austin was just praying really hard and loud, you know? And at least I didn't get it real late in life, you know? I could have gone through my whole life sleepwalking. That's what it felt like to me afterwards. I've told you this. That looking back, I was really kind of sleepwalking through life, just in a big daze all the time, going to work, working my butt off. When I was younger, man, I was not only working, I was doing side work, you know, to help pay the bills. I maybe would work 7 days a week. And you just turn into a zombie and focused, and all you think about is money or whatever. And none of that is... It's all going to be forgotten. It's going to disappear, you know. I don't even feel like I own my property now, because in reality, what happens? How many times has land around the world been owned by people? And the first person who claimed ownership on that? This is all God's stuff. It's not ours. We're just borrowing it. He's letting us use it for a while. You know? And, you know, I feel real good that, you know, these people that we've lost, and we've lost a lot of people in the last year and a half in our family, and my best friend, you know, people that are really important to us, and I know that they're in heaven because of the kind of people they were. And I take great comfort in the fact that I know that I'm going to get there someday and be able to see those people again. You know? Anyway, I think that's about it. Oh, yeah? Days of all.
A couple things. I'm going to give you the pastor's perspective on this. I remember when Bruce told me that he wasn't interested in religion and he was just coming for Paula. So he went in on a Tuesday in the hospital and he was having surgeries. So I went in on Thursday and I saw him, and he had Paula and one of the boys, or maybe both boys were there. He had them leave the room. And he told me, "Pastor, I'm not into this religion thing. I don't want to pray or anything." And I said, "Well, is it okay if Paula and me and the boys pray for you?" And he said, "Sure." So I asked the kids in, and we and Paula, and we prayed for him, and we prayed that he have dreams and visions. And then I left, and I was very discouraged. And that sermon that Paula heard on Sunday was coming from a discouraged pastor. And sometimes we have great sermons and other times we don't, okay? That was not a great sermon, okay? But it's what Paula needed to hear. It shows you how the Holy Spirit works, okay? And then Monday, during my devotions, Monday morning, I knew I was going to go see Bruce. And I just said, "Lord, just give me a sign." I said, "I'm preaching to people. They don't even want to be there, okay?" And so then I go and I see Bruce. And he's changed. He's full of peace and love. He wants to talk to me. He tells me the story, okay, about what happens. He said he's calling people into the room to tell them about Jesus. And I'm thinking, somebody pinch me and wake me up, all right? But he was completely transformed, all right? And so much so that he's... was telling the story all over the place, and then it affected the family. His father-in-law, Jerry, was pretty much in the same boat that Bruce was in, and he would only come occasionally with Donna, and probably just to keep the badger happy, okay? And he accepted Christ about 6 years ago, and once again he was transformed, and he was just always at peace. He loved the Word of God. He couldn't get enough of the Word of God, all right? And we lost Jerry shortly after last Easter, but we know he's in glory. Amen? And I remember at the memorial, I think Bruce was sitting right around where Leslie's sitting right now. And I told Bruce, I said, "Bruce, you're falling off the roof is what brought Jerry to Jesus Christ." And I said, "Bruce, I got a lot of other people that I need to bring to Jesus. Will you fall off a roof again?" And Donna's going, or Paula's going, "No, no, no." And he's just smiling, going, "Sure. Okay." And I know the hell you've been through. But he would do it again to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can make a change like that. Jesus lives. He rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, but he lives today. And he can live in us if we just open our hearts to him. Amen? Pastor, you want to give your part?
Well, we weren't in place at that time because I'd gone, driven to Joplin, Missouri to hand off our love gift here to to the people who were devastated by the terrible tornadoes in Joplin. So I'm doing that, and it was overwhelming to see the devastation. I mean, all the trees were demolished, the trees were like this tall with nothing on them. Houses, cars, bricks, everything destroyed. Everything around me, I looked, and it was overwhelming. And I thought, well, I'm coming back, and I was in Texas, and I thought, well, I'm going to go to a ball game. I went to a Texas Rangers game, and my dad and I always had a connection with baseball. He took me to baseball games, and it was a connection to father-son thing. Well, at the game I was at, there was a father who was a firefighter who, a ball player, Josh Hamilton, threw a ball to him to catch for his son. He went over to catch it. He fell over to his death right in front of his son. It had such an impact on me, because when you go to a ball game, you're not expecting to see death. And the father-son thing hit me. So all the way driving back from Texas, I can't get this visual thing out of my head of seeing that dad fall to his death. It's over and over and over, and I go, plus all the things I'd seen, the devastation of Joplin, I came back to Phoenix just like, ugh, sort of like, I don't know what's going on. Well, then I came in to see Bruce, and I go, whoa, who's this guy here? He totally changed. And instead of me praying for him, he started praying for me, and as he was grabbing my hand and praying, this electricity, this love, this energy and joy was coming out of Bruce, through God, through Bruce, to me. And I felt different. I left the hospital. I remember all that feelings about death and sadness was completely gone. Completely gone, just having a moment with Bruce. So it's amazing how God has used Bruce. And you know, Pastor, I'm thinking since then, we've had a lot of things happen. And I don't remember when Pastor Daniel was here, but that was about that same time, I think, where things started changing in our church. And now, we shouldn't be surprised because we hear these stories, we see them all the time. This person, that person. You all have stories. You all have testimonies. And it isn't how good we are. No, it's Jesus, His grace, His amazing grace. It's all Him, not us. And that we are saved not by good works, but by receiving the gift Jesus gave us and simply asking Him in our heart. So having done that, here's a chance maybe to do that now and for us all to be recommitted to our Lord as we pray. Lord God, we're all sinners. We've all blown it. And we ask for your forgiveness. We've been separated at times from you and others. And we know the things we think. We know the things we do. We know the things that are not good in our lives that others maybe don't know about. But we know you love us. God, you sent your very Son to die on a cross, a horrible death that we talked about this past Friday. But you did it. You forgive us. And your blood cleanses us, all our sins. For those that have never done that, perhaps they want to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe in you, Jesus. You're my Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me my sins. And give me a new life, a new direction. And we ask that you would fill those people with your Holy Spirit. And for all of us, help us to be recommitted to you. We can't do this. We have worries. We have fears. We have doubts. We have anxieties. We have problems. We have loneliness. We have depression. We have pride, we have hypocrisy, we have lust, we have this, we have that, but Lord, you're greater than all that. You're greater than our sin. And you take that away. And Lord, there's one thing that we can do here that we can't do in heaven, that's tell others and show others your love. So help us to show and tell others your love. Help us, Lord, to open up our eyes to see every day as an opportunity to serve you until you come for us and take us to heaven. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for revival in our country, that maybe this Easter many will come back to you, Lord. They come to church for the first time in a while, but may they come back to you, Lord. Bring them back. Bring them back home. Help us with all we can to pray, to love, and to share the great news of Easter with others. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty, powerful name we pray. Amen.